listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, America. We are lucky. We have amazing weather. We are so blessed, and I hope rest of the country is in the same situation. Ilona Europa here, and Accent On, and I have in the studio, like always, my dear friend, and sometimes my English brain, or American language brain, Stephanie. Hi,
hi.
Stephanie Mack. And we'll be hearing soon from you, because I still need to remind everybody that Stephanie, she's an aspiring actor. She is a wonderful, young, gorgeous girl who is very smart. And you are writing right now some another story for TV? What are you working on?
I'm working on a screenplay for a family friend.
Okay. Yes. And will this be happy or sad?
It will be happy.
I want to
happy. I don't like sad.
Please, no, this is why we love you so much, okay? And obviously, I am Ilona Europa here. And again, my accent is obvious and usual. I am from Europe. I'm originally from Poland. We have our steady star. Hello, Dr. DJ Barrett from Dallas, Texas.
Originally from Lafayette, Louisiana, but now living in the great state of Texas. So, how are you, Ilona?
I'm doing fine, and I cannot wait to talk to you about a little bit myths, and we'll be talking about hearing loss, and, you know, we have an amazing guest with us on my right side, and his name is Taylor Carroll.
Hello, Ilona.
Do I spell a right way? Do I pronounce your name right way? Can you tell us your name? Because my accent is funny.
Beautifully. Taylor Carroll.
I love it, but that sounds much better. And obvious, you are a rocker. You are a gorgeous man. Oh my gosh, he has tattoos everywhere. He has this black, gorgeous hair. He's a really good-looking man. But he's taken, because we have Manu with us, and we love her. She was our guest, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it was one of the best test shows, if I can say. This is not English, but I like this saying like that. Best test show. We had so many downloads. We really had a very, very nice people telling us how they enjoyed your show. Hi, Manu.
Hello, Ilona.
Oh, we
thank you for having me back.
Oh, how could I? And, you know, obviously, you know.
Thanks for letting me bring her.
Somehow you both look like, you know, you belong to each other. They're just so beautiful people, so beautiful. Anyway, and obvious, today we do not have John Johnson with us live, but I think we'll let John Johnson take care of business, because I think he's right now talking to Louis Vuitton people and other very big business people, because he's supposed to be in Switzerland, but flights got cancelled, and John need to take care of the business in different ways. Then, hi, John, we miss you, but you know what? We have your fireflies with us. And today we'll be talking about, let's see, what John
Hello,
Johnson.
And thank you for listening to Accent On. This is John Johnson with another edition of Firefly Igniting the Soul. If I asked, what is holding you back? Whatever you answer, it will more than likely boil down to fear in some form or another. And fear is the number one barrier to living boldly. You experience it every day in small and large doses. For instance, you don't do something you want to do because you're afraid. Or you do something that you don't want to do because you're afraid. Fear is the little demon that sits on our shoulders, holding us back from growth, success, fulfillment, and sometimes even happiness. But what can you do about fear? How can you overcome it? Well, in our modern world, most fear is unfounded. I mean, sure, it's normal to be afraid if you're being mugged, but lucky for us, our most common fears come from very vague things. They arise from situations that haven't happened, or they may actually never happen. Fear arises from the way we think and the way we live inside of our own ego. And sometimes our fear is about overcoming fear. We don't want to succeed because it requires so much, and of course, we might fail. If you're fearful in a small or even big way, I want you to change your paradigm and think about it like this. Learn to embrace fear, because fear is a necessary component of huge growth and positive change. Fear is a gold mine for growth. If you're fearful of something, say starting a new job, learning something new, public speaking, even having a difficult conversation, then you know you found a gold mine. Yep, this is the place to start digging, because those gemstones are there somewhere, and those gemstones are going to buy your freedom from fear and send you soaring to the next level. As I've gotten older, I know one thing for sure. I have this one life right now, and at some point, it's going to come to an end someday in the future. So I just figure, what's the point of living my life in fear? I've got a lot of things to do. In fact, I've got a lot of great things that I want to do. So I intend to do them. Fear be damned. If you want to live fearlessly, you absolutely must let go of some beliefs and actions. For me personally, I'm less afraid to be more honest, more true, more vulnerable, because I used to think that I'm supposed to be fearless. But now I know it's okay to be afraid as long as you show up. You see, there's only one you for all time. And by fearlessly being yourself, you put something wonderful back into the world that wasn't there before. For more of my thoughts, or to share your life strategies for becoming fearless, visit the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter at JohnsCat, JONSCAT. For Firefly, this is John Johnson. Start living your life like the dream you have is real. Now back to the studios with the fearless Ilona Europa and my good friend, Dr. DJ Verrett.
Thank you, John. Hi, DJ. What do you think about this topic? Is easy well, to be fearless or really... I think we all are a little bit scared of many, many things in life. But I agree with John, for sure, you know, the fear gets us further, I think. You know, if we just can somehow not being so afraid to be, you know, in a fear, living in a fear, we somehow can just reach out further and say, okay, I'm worried, but why I do need to worry? And I need to just reach out for what I want. But I know also sometimes in my life, I'm really petrified about making certain decisions. And I don't know if I'm fearless. I want to believe, but I'm not sure. Are you fearless, Dr. DJ?
Well, I think anyone that's fearless is either fooling themselves or staying in a position that they're comfortable in. And if you're always in the same position so that you feel comfortable doing it, then you're not trying out new things. You're not learning new things. You're not meeting new people. You're not putting yourself in new situations. And at some point, it just becomes the exact same thing over and over again, and you never really grow as a person. So I think if you truly have absolutely no fear, I think you're kidding yourself, because putting yourself in a new situation, there's some level of fear, even if you're able to overcome it. Or it's that you're in the exact same situations, you've become accustomed to it, you've become fearless in that situation, and I don't think that's such a good thing either. So
yeah, then we agree with John Johnson. It's really good to overcome your fear in knowing that the fear is part of growth. What do you think?
Well, you know, as John said, it's okay to be fearful as long as you show up.
Yes.
So and I think that's very true.
Yeah. What do you think, Taylor? Are you afraid of a lot of things in life? Are you living a fearless life? Or you have this really scary feeling in your stomach many times?
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a human being, so I fear a lot. And I think it's quite normal. And I totally agree with what he just said, what DJ just said, because if you're not putting yourself in new places, you're never going to grow. Yeah. You know, and I totally think it's cool to venture out and see what's out there.
Do you remember a moment in life when you, I'm talking again to Tyler, when you, obviously you're a musician, and I know how really our life is like, we are so afraid to put out our music, so afraid to meet new people, to go on a stage and face the fear of entertaining people and be maybe not liked. And this could be every night. It depends what town you are in, who you are working with, and over you need to prove yourself, actors and singers. I know, in a funny way, I am never scared from moment when I'm on a stage. It's like, okay, it's over. Before I enter the stage, I have a lot of fear in me. But somehow, I decided after when I was getting older, like John said, there is no way to be over and over questioning my abilities and be fearful of them. It just, this is who I am. I need to go. I'm nervous. But in time when I need to do a good job and show up, like John said, this is the time to just let it go of fear. But what was, do you remember some moment in life that you were so scared? So, and you overcome your fear?
Certain auditions.
Auditions.
Getting into new bands when I was a drummer.
And this is funny because really when you look back probably you say, what I was scared
what
about?
What am I scared of?
Yeah, they're all humans. They're wonderful people. Why I was afraid of? I'm really good. What about you, Manu?
Oh, yeah, tons of auditions.
Auditions
as a singer, absolutely. Because you know how it is. You're outside the room and you hear almost everybody in there. And you're like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do that?
And then, you are nervous. What type of nervousness do you feel when you are nervous?
I usually feel this. I'm getting very, my body's really hot, but also very cold at the same time. It's like this kind of, I get goosebumps, but I'm also like, start sweating.
Wow. What about your hands? Because my daughter, when she's nervous, she has very cold hands.
Yeah.
She has a very cold hand. I don't know. What about you? Stephanie.
I think my most nerve-wracking my college audition, I had a panic attack.
Wow.
I remember straightening my hair in the hotel room, and I think that's the last time my dad got to hug me while I was crying. I think he was a little thrilled that I was having the panic attack because he got to comfort me. But
and you said this was in college.
Yeah, it was for my college audition. I was terrified.
And going back to what you say, we all need somebody to hug us in moments when we are really very fearful. Mm-hmm. And it's good that you had a daddy with you in this time. Okay, I don't know, doctor, you are so logical in some ways, but also we know that you are so wonderfully a warm person. Do you remember your moment of the biggest fear?
Are you kidding? It's every day when I get up.
Yes, because you are operating on people's faces, hearts, head. That must be scary.
It's not, I don't get up every morning and I'm just trembling in my boots and crying and don't know what to do. But, there's a certain amount of, I wake up in the morning and I look at what I have. I have a wife, I have a young daughter, and I have to be able to provide for them. I'm going to be taking care of people and doing things that can be truly life-changing in a good way, hopefully, but also have complications to go along with it and have to deal with those. So there's a little bit of fear in everything that I do, but at the same time, you become good at what you do, you become confident in what you do, and so you can move forward and be able to build on your past experiences and put together successes as you go along. But it's always the fear that what if I'm not around? How is my daughter going to grow up? How is my wife going to be able to take care of her? What if I don't, what if I forgot to put a certain stitch in? What's going to happen? It's those kinds of things that just really keep you on your toes and keep you focused about what you're doing. So
And you are
a little bit of fear in everything you do, I think.
I love this because you brought us back to family, how we need to be fearless sometimes and believing that all what we do will be for the best for all of people that we love. And I think in a way, if we are putting our foot forward and we are just trying to overcome our fear and do the best how we can and just go against the fear and still reach out for the best goal that we can have in front of us, I think we in the end we are winners, then?
Absolutely. Well, it's like John said, even if you're fearful, as long as you show up, that's most of the battle.
I loved it. We love Don Johnson. Hi, Don. I hope you are okay in your place. And now I would love to come back to music because, of course, our guest today is a very talented man. And we'll talk a little bit about his past and his future. But right now, I would love to listen, and we all would love to listen to his first song. And his song is called Someone Else's
Dream.
Dream. Okay. You know, DJ, what do you think?
That was fantastic.
Thanks, man.
You cannot.
That was high energy.
I had plenty of it.
Oh, yes, you did. And you know, what we know about you is that you're a drummer, but obvious, you recorded everything. Tell me, how did this happen? Because you said you're a professional drummer, which means you studied drumming, and we'll come back to your touring and how did this happen.
Right.
Because you're a musician, but we hear bass, we hear lead guitar, wow!
It took a while.
Vocals, all vocals, layering. I love it, love it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I really do. Okay, I need to go in a peace mode. Okay, coming back to the question, Taylor.
Yes.
You said that you are coming, you are not from LA. Yes.
I'm not from LA. I'm from Tennessee.
You just give us a little bit overview of your very, very young life.
My young life. I grew up actually on the road with my dad for the most part when I was little. My dad was a musician, singer-songwriter, and still is actually. And his name's Bruce Carroll. Fantastic. You should go check him out now.
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 Two-time
Grammy Award winning artist. I'm sorry, Dad, if you're listening. I have to brag on you. I love you. And I love
Mom,
too.
We are so jealous. Daddy, but you have an amazing son.
Daddy. So I grew up in Nashville, going to writing sessions with him when I was little, just kind of watching while we were on our sweatpants. It was the 90s.
You said little. How little?
Oh, I was probably about 4 when I started going to his writing sessions.
Wow, good.
Just
Daddy.
Watching. I was just watching.
Yes, of course.
And and then I grew up in that lifestyle. And then when everything started to slow down, the industry started to turn around a little bit, and we made a move to Denver and then back to Memphis. I was like, where's all the touring gone? And I wanted to do it myself. So I started playing in bands, and my parents were supportive, and music was more important to me than school. Which would sometimes get me in trouble
really?
At school, but my parents have actually been really cool about it. So.
They understood. Of
course, they understood.
You know, it's like always when I'm a musician, you know, my daughter is right now singer-songwriter. She's studying USC music. You cannot stop when you see your child to have a talent. You are so proud that you gave them this a little bit of something that they can take for themselves. And are you only one, or you have brother or sister?
I have a brother and 2 sisters and then 2 half-sisters. So.
And are they normal? Means no music in their blood, or they're also musicians?
You know, everybody in the family loves music, but my brother is a fantastic singer. I'm talking world class.
Wow. Yeah. And what style do you sing in?
He is a soulful guy.
You never had the chance to work with him on the stage?
Him and I have worked together plenty of times with my dad. Yeah,
it's been fun. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, coming back to your a little bit. To your childhood, you said Daddy was taking you for songwriting sessions, and you were listening. Obviously, you were seeing all these great talents, and you felt like that's what you want to do. Then you had school, high school, then you had your few bands, and then you start getting much more serious. But tell me, you call yourself professional drummer. In Europe, you need to study drumming. How you were going about studying how to play drums?
Well, I started by annoying neighbors when I was about 9 years old. I had a drum set for my birthday, and then I just started playing. And at first, you know, everybody was kind of complaining because they just hear a bunch of bam, bam, slam, whack. And then all of a sudden, one day, it started, you know, years later, I'm not some kind of freak prodigy.
Wow.
It started to come out nicely, you know, and my parents were always very patient.
Then first
that.
Time when you decided, okay, it's time to go on a tour, and I'm the one who sits and just do the beat.
Well, that started in a very slow pace, because at first when I went out on tour with bands, they'd be like, yeah, sounded all right. You know, it wasn't good for a while, you know, because it'd be in punk bands and different bands, but my parents always supported it. So I'd always be out there, you know, doing the best I could. And then one day, something finally clicked that, hey, you know, I just need to keep time. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
And then everything started getting easier, and everybody started being nicer and loving it. And then I said, hey, I need to start putting on a show. And I said, hey, I need to start getting more energetic, throwing my sticks, lighting my cymbals on fire, you know, all the above.
Value of that. Yeah. Wow. DJ, I always wanted to know if you did you play some instrument?
Do I play an instrument? I can play chopsticks on the piano very well.
Oh, you know, they say the doctors are really talented when it comes to music. Sometimes a lot of doctors also have an education in music. But I know, because you are a connoisseur, you really know so much about music, and you're proving us over and over in our, accent on shows that you have a lot of to say. Do you like the rock style? Are you a fan of rock bands, or this is not what you really enjoy the best?
No, I like a little bit of everything, as long as it's something I can sing along to. It works out pretty well.
I got
the hook. We like this hook. Okay.
We're doing a new version.
My version.
So, Taylor, what really made you want to go out on your own at some point?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I kind of got tired of living someone else's dream. Oh. For about 7 years total on the road, actually at a very young age. It just felt like I was a hired gun all the time, always playing for other people. And, you know, that's okay if that's what you want to do. But for some reason, it never really clicked until, you know, a little bit of an older age. I was like, wait a second. I want to be a singer and a guitarist and a frontman of a band. I have too much energy. That's why I'm back there always confused. You know what I mean? I love playing drums, but I felt like I was always supposed to be a frontman because I have a passion for people and for entertaining people and showing people that they should love each other through music. You know, and I don't know. What you see is what you get with me, so.
Wow.
Now, was that a scary thing, getting back to what we talked to at the top of the show?
Yes, I'm terrified. I mean, but I am having the most fun I've ever had in my life this past year since I went solo.
Because what I understood about your career, that you took a tiny little break, yes?
Yes.
After touring, and you said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I really need to focus on what I think is my dream. And I think that's the coolest things ever in every artist's life. Eventually, we stop and think, is this really what I want to do? Is this the direction that I want to go? Or is something that I need to be fearless and just go after, even against comfort zone, against payment, against money that come easily, yeah, and go to the scary moment I need to do by myself. And I need to try to really, you know, do what I really wanted to do and try. And you told me that you said, oh, maybe I need to take a break, like for 10 years.
Right.
Yes, but that would be scary if you will do it. God, thank you. But in the meantime, you met the girl of your dream.
I met her at the most perfect time in my life.
Tell me how this is, because I believe that good things somehow, the changes in life, everything is like coming to the same point that is like big, surround, beautiful present and say, open. And you have this gorgeous girl, you have your dream, you are working so hard, and this is the moment that everything is right, and hopefully everything will be even more right from this moment on. Hey, how did you meet Manu?
You tell the story.
You tell. A girl always tells the best story.
You got a minute? You want to order pizza while she tells? Because it...
Okay, fast forward.
No, let's just do it fast. I went to Nashville for a singing workshop.
Yes.
And I stayed at this at my singing teacher's house. He has like this huge mansion where a lot of his, you know, students and people live. So I met Taylor's brother. And Taylor's brother, from the beginning I met him, he's like, you know, I think you guys would make a cute couple together. But Taylor wasn't there. He was on tour that time. So, but whenever Taylor called his brother, Austin always, you know, passed the phone to me.
That's beautiful.
And made us talk. I'm like, Austin, I'm really not in the mood, you know, for having a boyfriend whatsoever. So I went back to LA and I talked to Austin through Skype. He's like, hey, Taylor is here.
And I happened to be home for a day off tour.
One day off.
I know. So that was the day when we started Skyping. And that was a couple of months going on. And the first day I gave him a number on Skype, I thought it was the biggest mistake I've made. Because he kept calling me, texting me.
If you want something, you got to go get it.
I like that.
Yeah,
man,
so that's how it was. Yeah, for a couple of months, you know, I just kept talking to him. Something could not, you know, kept me away, or didn't keep me away from it. So he came out and visited me, and now he moved to LA.
And now he moved to LA. You see, yes, everything is for a reason. Wow, but thank you, brother. We love you for that. Hopefully, you know.
Thank you, brother.
And you both right now creating great music, because 2 weeks ago when we had you on a show, you know, I was in love with your style of music, which, you know, so beautiful, because you are a producer right now, but you are doing a lot of dance.
Right.
With her electronica and, you know, just rock everything. The girl is who she wants to be, and you are giving it to her, you know, the style, and you listen to what she wants to be like. It's beautiful. You know, I am very, very proud of both of you. Then
Thank you. Hopefully,
the love will prevail, and we'll see what's happened next. Coming back to maybe second song. Okay, your second song is called Not My Style.
That's right.
Then let's listen to the second song.
Gotten the best of me.
Again, I cannot tell you how much I love it. You know, you are so good songwriter.
Oh, thank you.
So, your hooks are so pure and get to your head. It's a really, really, it's not easy to write like that. It's not easy to just make this so, in a way, I always say that the song is like a plate. You want to know what you are getting. You know, you see and you want to. Nothing worse than song that is like mix of everything. And you can, oh, where is this? Where is this? You are so good songwriter. Dad did amazing job. You did amazing job. I'm so, so proud of you. And tell me, I know you are working on... This album is called...
This is a EP called The Damage, and it's actually available on iTunes. You can go to facebook.com/TaylorCarrollMusic, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, the real way to spell Carol.
Wow. And yeah, and I obviously on your fan page, you can also click to the songs too. Yes,
I see
you have. That's also a very
Absolutely.
Good way. But again, the most important is to support the songwriter and singer-songwriter and go and buy an album. And I know you are working on another one.
I am. Actually, I just finished tracking a full-length record with my band that I just recruited, which I'm very proud of. I have two females in my band and a male, Shea Padilla on guitar, Chrislyn Woolley on drums, and Christian Siebert on bass and guitar, and him and I are going to alternate bass and rhythm guitar. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, gosh, I cannot wait to hear you live. And obviously, we'll come back and you tell us, you know, whenever we kick, I'm sure you'll be start clubbing around LA. And then when we'll go, we'll maybe do live before and after show, and we'll be listening to the screaming. And I still believe this song, I don't know what you are writing right now. You said that it's even more hooky and more pop rock, which I cannot even imagine that will be more
That's
pop
going
rock.
On the record, too.
But that's the, to me, that's your single.
Thank you.
I don't know what is the 10 different songs, but this is the single. And I believe this is a really, really good one. Anyway, doctor, we need to come back to you and you need to take care of our ears, okay?
Well, I thought since we were talking with a great rocker this evening that it might be important to talk about preserving your hearing while going to listen to great rock band music.
Please.
And you said that you were so lucky, yes, Taylor, that putting always earplugs, how you call this?
Cotton, Kleenex, whatever I could find that's clean to put in my ears, absolutely.
But when you play, you put stuff in your
earbuds,
ears?
Yeah, absolutely.
Earbuds.
All the time.
You protect your ears. And one of the questions is earphones won't cause hearing problems, will not cause hearing problems wearing earphones. No, you will think yes, because you're protecting your hearing. What do you think?
Well, and what we're talking about here is wearing earphones, listening to iPhone music or your iPod or something like that. Not ear protection, not earplugs, but actually earphones in your ears.
Duh. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. But I agree with you. I will say, I know that, you know, when I see my daughter all the time with these headphones listening to the music, I'm a little afraid what will happen to her hearing. That I think mama in me says, that's dangerous. What do you think, Taylor?
You know, sometimes if I go running on the treadmill or something and I blast the music,
ouch,
it hurts after I work out and I feel... DJ, what do you think? Should I... How high can I turn up the volume and get away with it?
You know, that is a great question. And so basically, earphones can actually damage your hearing. And if you're getting pain with it, it is way too loud, unfortunately. But you shouldn't have it any louder than being able to have a conversation over the sound. So if you're able to talk to someone while your earphones are playing, then it's fine. But if it's any louder than that, it's actually too loud.
But is this not why we are wearing earphones? To not listen to what
Now, does that include yelling?
Well, I'm just saying, in order to protect your hearing, you shouldn't have it any louder than that.
Yes,
but it's okay. Either way, I win because we can always get you set up for hearing aids, and it's no problem.
Thank you, doctor. Another question. Once I have hearing loss, there is nothing I can do? No, if you are deaf, you're deaf. I think you're deaf. Nothing that you can do. But you will say that our great medicine probably can help us somehow, somewhere. Please, doctor, tell us we have a hope if we are getting a little bit deaf. Fair.
Actually, there are a lot of things you can do. So as we age, naturally, all of us will develop some amount of hearing loss. Even if you wear earplugs all the time, don't listen to your iPods too loud. you will still get some amount of hearing loss as we age. And part of it's genetics, too. So if you have a family history of early hearing loss, that can be carried down through the ages. But if you are experiencing hearing loss, there are a couple of things you can do. One, you want to make sure and protect any remaining hearing you have. So avoid loud sounds. Make sure and wear ear protection. And two, you can always look into amplification devices, so hearing aids or similar devices. And even people who have completely lost their hearing, there's a device called a cochlear implant, which is surgically implanted into the bone of hearing so that the outside world is transcribed to an electrical signal that's transmitted across the skin and then directly to the nerve of hearing.
Wow.
And I think probably everyone, for whether they like it or not, know of Rush Limbaugh, the conservative talk show host.
Yeah.
And he actually, in his adult life, after he was on the radio, went completely deaf in both ears, and he has two cochlear implants, and he still, if you talk to him, you wouldn't know that he's deaf.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, take your earplugs off because Dr. DJ will take care of you when you are deaf.
Sounds good.
He'll plug something in.
We'd rather keep your normal hearing because even cochlear implants, while they're truly a miracle of modern medicine, and in children who are born deaf and have appropriate reasons for it and are candidates for a cochlear implant, if you implant them at around 1 year of age, which we are able to do, then they, when they grow up, they do not have any of the stigma of being deaf. They
Amazing.
Won't have the oral impairment, so they'll be able to speak just fine. They have no impairment in their development. They'll have no impairment in school. Basically, they're completely normal at that point.
Doctor, that's so beautiful. That's, I never heard about that. Is it just the biggest, you know, hope for, you know, I'm sure in America, some in other poor countries, I'm sure they cannot afford and nobody knows about these possibilities, but that's the hope, so big hope for so many people and children.
Well, and cochlear implants are very expensive. The devices themselves run anywhere between $20,000 to $40,000. You have surgery, it is a surgical procedure to implant it, and then you have a lot of training and a lot of care for the device that takes place afterwards to be able to tune it, to replace batteries, to do all of those kinds of things, and teach families how to take care of them. So there, it is a very costly procedure, but truly a miracle of modern medicine, because where children are born that may not be able to hear, you can give them the gift of hearing. Or if someone is deaf in adult life, you can replace their hearing for them. Unfortunately, it doesn't hear exactly like normal hearing, because it breaks the speech and the sounds are broken up into discrete frequencies, so you wouldn't be able to go to a symphony and appreciate, or a rock concert even, and appreciate the range of frequencies that are going on. But in terms of being able to interact with people, to understand speech, to talk on the phone, all of those things would be completely normal.
Yeah, but what I sometimes, when I'm in the studio, some people are more, they hear better higher notes and higher sound, and some people prefer, or they are like more in tune to the lower, lower notes. Why is this? You know, I need to listen more bass.
Yeah.
I have a friends who like to, you know, pick up more, up, go high, you know, harsh. Then why? Why everybody listens differently?
Well, that's a good question, and some of it may be related to hearing loss that the person may have. Generally, as we age, we actually lose higher frequencies of hearing first, and so a lot of times it is more difficult to hear women before it's difficult to hear men, because men's voices are generally lower.
That's a terrible excuse for not listening to your wife.
Yeah, that's what husbands say. Honey, I'm going to hear you. What do you say?
You heard the old joke about the man who was sitting at the table and his wife was sitting in front of him, and she had always said that he had a problem hearing, but he didn't believe her. So she was watching TV and he was sitting behind her, and so he goes, I'm going to figure this out. So he goes, honey, can you hear me? And he doesn't get a response, so he moved a little closer. Honey, can you hear me? And he didn't get a response, so he moves a little closer right behind her and yells in her ear, honey, can you hear me? And she turns around and she says, for the third time, yes.
Good girl.
You do have to be careful.
Oh,
there.
That's so cool. Oh, I think we have another wonderful question. Hearing aids are only for old people. Obviously, in a way, you already answered some part of this question. Means that, yeah, probably young people need them also, yes? Sometimes.
Well, absolutely. And not just completely deafened children, but as we age, if you have an early premature hearing loss because you had went to a lot of rock concerts, shot guns, were involved in an occupation like taking care of airplanes where there was a lot of loud noises, you may have an early hearing loss. And hearing aids can actually be very beneficial because one of the first things that happens when you develop high frequency hearing loss, particularly, you'll have difficulty hearing in large crowds. So if you'll be in a one-on-one conversation, it'll be okay, but you get into a larger crowd and you try to talk to someone right next to you, you may have difficulty actually talking to that person.
Yeah.
So hearing aids in those situations can be very beneficial because they can be tuned to the frequencies that you may not be able to hear. They'll be able to amplify those frequencies but not amplify the frequencies that you can hear. And at the end of the day, make it easier for you to interact in certain environments. So hearing aids aren't just for old people, and they have many different types these days. Some that they're called completely in-canal CIC hearing aids, and they can completely fit in the ear canal, and you never even see them. So you don't have the stigma of being seen with this big thing hanging off your ear.
Although when you add little diamonds all around the hearing aid, I think that's like so cool.
It might be a new product line we can work on.
Doctor, I really like it. I really think this can work. You know, let's focus on that next time. A few diamonds. And I know that Mr. John Johnson is talking right now to Swarovski Crystal, also factory. Then you know what? You never know. Maybe we'll do earplugs or what do you call this, the hearing aids, with diamonds hanging out of our ears. I like that. I like that. I have something to look forward to when I will be a little bit older. Anyway, okay, last question. And we are all singers. And I know we all love to sing in a car. And, you know, plug the music and wah! But I know the first rule, and I'm also a coach, and I'm coaching a lot of young people, and I have my music degree, in vocal training, that I know that's really, really bad. I always say, do not sing in a car with your radio on or CD on, and they try to, you know, scream in the car. Because I think you can explain this better why. I really think the small space in a car makes us singing louder, and it's just very bad for your vocal strings. But you will say probably this has nothing to do with vocal strings. Doctor, tell me, is this okay to sing in a car and just ruin your voice?
Sing your voice out. The only thing that can happen, and it's the same thing that happens to people who go to the Dallas Cowboys New York Giants game and start yelling at the referees, or to a rock concert and try to sing louder than the amplifiers there. You can cause voice strain. You can actually get bleeding into the vocal cords, what's called a hemorrhagic polyp, and it can cause your voice to go hoarse for a time until it ends up healing itself. Yeah. But it can take several weeks for that to happen.
Yeah,
so it can truly strain your voice if you're trying to sing louder than the
Porsche engine. Porsche engine class music.
But at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world and not a really big deal. What you do want to be careful of, though, is exposure to loud concerts, really loud noise in the car on a continual basis, because what ends up happening is you'll notice if you come out of a loud concert, you kind of have this ringing in your ears. You may not hear, everything may sound kind of muffled. And what actually happens is you cause temporary damage to your ear, and you cause what we call a threshold shift, but basically it's a hearing loss. And that generally heals itself over a few days. But if you're exposed to loud sounds while it's healing itself, it actually makes a certain amount of the hearing loss permanent. And if that happens time and time and time again over several years, over a lifetime, you can get a permanent early hearing loss because of these repeated loud noise exposures. So you do want to be very careful with your hearing. And if you come out of something where you do feel like you can't hear quite as well or you have a ringing in your ears, it was way too loud and you should have used some hearing protection.
Thank you, Dr. DJ. That's really, really important for us to know and be careful. Yes, we special children, especially our babies, and you are very smart, Tyler, that you protect your ears. And, Doctor, I see we have some caller, yes? Tracy's calling. We have phone call?
Tracy, are you on the line?
Tracy.
I'm on the line.
Oh, hello, hello, Tracy. Hi, how are you? Tracy Sanders.
And how are you?
Yeah, we are fine. We have amazing guests today. We have wonderful, wonderful music. And I know that you are calling to Accent On, and because you would like to invite everybody to your wonderful charity event that is on the 11th of November.
It is November 11th.
Yes.
We're having artistfactions.com is producing a celebrity arts fundraiser benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Ventura and Camarillo, as well as Bring Hollywood Home Foundation, which brings the jobs back to California.
And I think you are calling, and I wanted you to come also because we need to raise money and we need to sell a lot of tickets, yes? And how we can get a ticket for your event?
Oh, thank you. A couple of different ways. You can go to Artistfactions. And it's A-R-T-I-S as in Sam, F as in Frank, A-C-T-I-O-N-S, Celebrity Events, plural, the number 100.eventbrite.com, or you can call me, Tracy Saunders, at 805-641-0824, and I will get you more information. It's going to be at the Pierpont Inn in Ventura, California, Sunday, November 11th, Veterans Day. We're going to be honoring seven amazing veterans, as well as eight extremely talented artists, and four live bands, and three MCs, and a pear tree.
Oh, Tracy, thank you so much for calling in and giving us this information. I know you'll be coming to studio after your event, and we'll talk about all this atmosphere. I hope I will be there too, and I know John Johnson hopefully is also there with us, and hopefully this will be wonderful, wonderful event. Again, what is the phone number if somebody wants to order thousands of tickets? Although we cannot have thousands.
805-641-0824. I wanted to add that we do have confirmed celebrities. Isai Morales will be attending, as well as Yvonne De La Rosa, Peter Kwong, Miss California, Shauna Olsen, and also many more celebrities and also pro athletes. We have Sam Williams from the NFL attending, as well as Amon Arnold, who's the secretary of the NFL Players Association. Many, 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 many high-profile community leaders are supporting this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and we'll be talking to you maybe even next week for a little bit, because I think never enough repeat people, and bring them over to great events, and that's so important for you and for all community to bring a lot of people. I think we can only have 400 people there, yes?
We are hoping and crossing our fingers, but I know we have several hundred already definitely attending.
Oh, my gosh.
So
okay,
we're very, very excited about that. And I love you, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Okay, we love you, Tracy, and hopefully next week you will also
And Alona, we'll put that on the Accent On page on Facebook, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you will be
having. Oh, thanks, guys.
Yes, and we love you, and talk to you probably next week also for 2-3 minutes. And right now, again, we have in the studio a wonderful, wonderful rocker, and with his new album. Again, please, Tyler, tell us again title of your album, where we can find and buy your music.
Yeah, it is called the Damage EP, and you can find it on facebook.com/Taylor Carroll Music or iTunes, Taylor Carroll, The Damage.
And you will be back, because I know that you have a new album almost ready, and we cannot wait. And I still believe that we found the best single for your future album, and we heard this song today. Is not your style?
Not my style.
Okay. That was nice. And Manu, what is going on in your life right now? Fast?
My life. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can say that already. I'm talking to some
gossip
band right now. I think I have a band, so I'm ready to perform
because last
very,
time
very soon.
you made a you tried to put band together.
I know.
You think you're done?
I guess he's playing guitar with her.
Yay! Tyler! Okay, I am so excited for both of you, and I love you dearly, and you'll be back forever and ever and ever until we all will be getting Grammys on our walls, and
that's
we'll
right
be like, having instead of TV, we'll be watching Grammys. What about you, DJ? You know, next week we'll be talking again and again and again. We love you. Thank you for taking care of our ears. I promise I will be not listening to loud music. And yeah, no more ringing in my ears. I learned my lesson a few years ago that's really, really bad. And talk to you next week. Yes?
Sounds like a plan, Alona. Y'all have a good week.
We will. And I am not sure. We have a little bit time left, and I have one song which I would like to do small short premiere. I was hoping John Johnson is with us. Do you see Easy Come, Easy Go?
I do.
Okay, then before we'll say bye-bye, I will say this is like world release of my dance track, Easy Come, Easy Go, and it's done by Dom Capuano. And next probably week we'll listen to Club Jumper's version because we are creating new maxi single, and this song, I like this mix a lot. Okay, let's listen a little bit. And bye-bye.
I believe I